you are going to have to sometimes front up some money before you get the outcome that you want.
There is an inherent risk with business guys and entrepreneurship, and a lot of people have tried to hire VAs, and we're going to go through hiring very shortly, and not had a good experience, and then go, oh, it's not for me.
There is like a direct reflection in when you guys do this activity and the position your finances are right now in your bank account. So I teach this in Success School. How it works is you get an Excel spreadsheet, and then you list out 15-minute increments from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then there's three spaces each 15 minutes, and you basically are trying to journal what you're doing for an entire week. Welcome to episode 133 of the Success School podcast. We're talking about VA best practices today. We have had a long experience hiring VAs. We'll go into a bit of a story on that. Steph, how are you feeling?
Excited. I love talking about VAs because I love talking about outsourcing because I love talking about being able to make more money and do less work.
And you like talking about it twice.
I do love talking about it.
Because second time recording.
I do love talking about it twice.
The power went out.
Yeah.
We had to restart. So
very,
here we are.
Very Thailand.
Two. Steph, do you want to give us your personal update?
I would love to. I have one personal update, and actually I had two previously, but I'm only going to give you guys one. I'm going to save some for the next few episodes.
For the next step.
I
love to ramble.
Do love to ramble. I lost my overseas driving virginity this week, and it was very scary because Thailand is not an easy place to drive, and we obviously have a car. We haven't got the car yet, but we have a car that we've hired, which also makes it more scary because it's a hire car. Anyway, so I drove him to the airport and I drove him back all by myself, and I was so nervous, but I did it. Luckily, drivers drive very similar to the way I drive, very stop-start, very awkward, don't really stay in the middle of the lane. So
very bad driving.
It actually feels very natural me to drive.
Yeah.
It was very natural for me to drive here.
Yeah.
I've driven all of probably 6 kilometers so far, but so far so
killed
good.
It.
Killing it. Yeah. Killing it. Not as exciting as your personal update.
Yeah, well, speaking of virginity, I got close as well. So what happened is we went for a massage solo. Usually I go with Steph and you know, like guy not wearing a wedding ring. I don't wear a wedding ring, by the way. That was probably like a bad move.
Yes.
Steph's been saying
I concur.
That. I don't know where my wedding ring is, to be honest. I don't know where it is. Anyway, I'm married. Anyway, getting this massage, and she was pretty into it. Like she was giving it a bit, you know, like she was enthusiastically massaging me. You know, like high up the thighs, you know, like that kind of, and I was like, oh, this is pretty weird. Halfway through, she starts giving me like, hey, do you have a wife? And I was like, yep. Got a wife, married, happily married, love my wife, you know, it's great. And probably like 10 minutes later, she was just start tapping me on the shoulder, and I'm like, so we like massage technique, just, you know, shoulder taps. And then she was actually trying to like get my attention. She's terrible English. And then she does the international sign for like, do you want to get jerked off, which is this. And, I was like, I felt so uncomfortable in my body and soul in that exact moment. I felt like part of me died. And it was probably like 25 minutes left. So I had to sit there, clench my asshole like so tight.
Just to confirm, did you say yes or no?
No, I said no. I said no. I had to clench my butt so tight because I was like scared of like anything, you know. Like I was in
prison. Came home and told me about it, and I was like, that must have been the most uncomfortable massage, like not relaxing massage of all time, because now you just feel uncomfortable. Like you feel like you're being like a piece of meat.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
I literally felt like that, and I was like every like stroke, I was like of the massage, you know, more and more uncomfortable as we went on.
Let's get into hiring VAs. Right. That was awesome. Thank you for the update. I'm sure the listeners have rejoiced in hearing this fundamental story of our lives.
Yeah. If you want one, they got them, yeah.
Which I think people knew, but now we know for sure. Okay. Who are we to talk about hiring VAs? Why do you think we should be the experts sharing this opinion?
Yeah, Steph gave us a 30-minute monologue in the episode before this that we try to record, but I'll try to keep this quite succinct. We used to have a really big digital marketing agency. We had 40 VAs hired at any one time. Basically, the whole business was run on VAs. And then outside of that, we've both been in business quite a while. So I think accumulatively, we've had about 90 VAs, which is more than most agencies have had. So I think we are well suited to talk about this topic today.
Amazing. So look, hiring a VA is hands down the best hire that we think that you can personally make and probably definitely should be your first hire. If you're making more than $5,000 a month and you don't have one, it kind of sounds to me like you're actively choosing to stay broke and busy. And so if you don't want to be broke and you don't want to be busy, today we're going to break down exactly what to do on hiring a VA, managing a VA, finding them, replacing them, all those things without fucking it up.
So we've got a couple of sections today. The first one is the real cost. So, Steph, I'm going to ask you first. If your hourly rate, you, Steph, is $200 an hour, I know it's a lot more because you're just worth it and all that, and you spend 10 hours a week on admin, that's like $2,000 you're lighting on fire. Why do people resist that math, or why do they avoid that? They focus on things or shit or like low revenue generating activities instead of the ones that...
It's so bizarre. I think it's our addiction to being busy. I think that we are so addicted to being busy that we like the ticking off of the tasks. And I think that realistically, most entrepreneurs are terrified to do the revenue generating activities because that means being visible, that means being seen, that means being rejected. And it means probably sucking at the thing that they're, you know, not that good at yet and the skill they haven't yet developed. And so they do the stuff that makes them feel productive. So they build the landing pages or they follow up on billing or they do their zero reconciling or they do the stuff that they get told good entrepreneurs do. And it feels good because they tick it off their to-do list and they have this completion bias that they were really busy today. But 6 months down the line, they're broke and busy. They're busy, but they're not making any more money because they're not spending time on their revenue generating activities. And so we see it all the time. I think it's a completion bias. I think it's a bias towards being productive rather than making money. I think that for a lot of people, making money, I don't get it, is scary. It's you know, it's hard to do and it's, or they believe it's hard to do and they believe it's scary. And so they avoid the work that it actually is.
What are some of the revenue generating activities that you do versus like VA shit?
Yeah. So I would do like presentations for our webinars. Like I create them, VA I write them. VA can't do it. I can't get them to put the information from my mind into the webinar and structure it out in the way that I structure it to generate income and to be productive and valuable for the person on the other end. So I have to do that. I don't create the slides, just to be very clear. Like a VA does the graphics, but I put the information together. Right now, we're in between salespeople and I am doing the sales calls. That's a revenue generating activity, obviously, because it literally generates us revenue. I would do any kind of outreach. So if I was trying to do partnerships, affiliates, any kind of brand building, I'd probably do all of that stuff initially, at least to set up that process before handing that process off to a VA. But yeah, revenue generating activities for me are selling on my social media stories, actively dropping links to people to check out and purchase, potentially writing email marketing if that is, I mean, that's typically more of a you task, but writing those emails to make us money. Anything that's genuinely going to face the front end and invite an action to take a next step with us.
Yeah, let's go to the other end of the spectrum. So what are some stuff that VAs should be doing that most people get stuck doing?
Yeah, Zapier.
Zapier, yeah.
Literally anything to do with Zapier. So anytime that you guys are trying to connect things to other things, a VA should be doing that.
Yeah.
Calendar management, Calendly links, rescheduling appointments, building your landing pages. After you've written the email marketing emails, they should be scheduled and sent out by somebody else. The graphic design, literally anything to do with graphic design in your business, unless you're a graphic designer, but even still, you probably shouldn't be doing it if you're in business.
Video editing.
Video editing for sure.
Setting up ads.
Setting up ads. The list is endless. Like, you know, chasing up failed billing inquiries, getting people rebooked into a calendar who have had a sales call with you, but cancelled. Like there's just so many tasks that you do on a day-to-day basis that just take you away from doing the things that really grow the company.
Yeah, funny story. Couple of clients, sometimes they message me and they're like, hey, Tim, I'm so sorry, my billing's failed. And I was like, I have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
Yes.
Like that is so far from my area of genius that I'm not even involved in billing at all.
Yes.
Successful.
Our clients apologize.
Yeah, I look at the report on Monday and I see how many clients have failed payments and I'm like to our admin, how do we get this number down? Like, let's sort this out. And that's kind of it. So we don't like touch that shit at all because it's not, well, technically it is revenue generating, but me getting involved in that process is not going to speed it up versus a VA following a process.
In fact, it's probably going to slow it down because we're going to get all heady about it and freak out and all those yucky, scarce feelings that we have when we're chasing money, right?
Yeah.
Tim, real question though. People say that with VAs, you get what you pay for. And there's definitely a whole argument for onshore versus offshore, cheap versus expensive. Talk us through what the real differences are between, like, let's say a $5 VA and like a $20 per hour VA.
Yeah, I'll go one step further. We'll do $5, $20, and then we'll go like Australian VAs. This might piss some people off. Typically with like overseas VAs, you get what you pay for. So a $5 an hour VA is not going to be as good as a $20 an hour VA, but you can get some diamonds in the rough in there as well. So generally, like the lower you pay, the worst skilled you're going to get. Anywhere from like 10 USD per hour plus. Usually you're going to get someone that's university educated as well. It's not like, I'm not saying university educated is the be all and end all here, but usually like they've done a bunch of study and a bunch of curriculum. So, you know, they're pretty good workers and learners and those type of things. So typically like you'll get what you pay for. We used to be on the big like $5 an hour task bandwagon. We did preach that quite a bit in Success School. I would say if you guys are looking to hire a VA, pay a little bit more, get someone better, especially if your systems and processes are not there. You know, I have said this lots of times on group coaching calls, and I've had people try to quit Success School over me saying this, but I've said that like our $10 an hour virtual assistant would beat most $100 an hour Australian virtual assistants in terms of productivity, tasks, getting shit done. There's a notion out there, maybe it's a little bit racist, where they think that people overseas in the third world countries are just not as good as Australian people, especially if you're paying 10x the amount of money per hour. I think it's a bit of a fallacy there. Yes, there are great Australian VAs. Yes, there are great overseas VAs. But for me, it's like I'm a capitalist. I'm always optimizing for most profit. So if I can get someone to do my VA task for $10 an hour and I'm giving them a good life as well, and like, you know, our virtual assistant Sai, we've put 4 of her kids through college on the wage that we give her every week. We give her bonuses, we give all sorts of stuff like that.
I will just touch on this. If you're an Australian VA or you know an Australian VA and you're listening to this episode, I want to be really clear that we actually have a lot of Australian VAs inside Success School. And what we help our Australian VAs do is to package up their genius. Like usually they're really good at something, whether that's systems, whether that's processes. We just had one girl join. Her name's Steph. She's an absolute legend. Great name, obviously. And she's been doing launching. She's been helping clients launch forever. And I'm like, cool, let's just put that into a package. So instead of you charging $130 an hour for it, we sell it as a done-for-you system, and then you can charge a hell of a lot more for it as well. Yep. So I think most Australian VAs are actually underutilizing their skills and could actually be paid a hell of a lot more than what they're getting paid.
Yep.
So if you're listening to this and you're like getting on your, you know, high horse about the fact that we're saying that someone could do it better than you, we're saying that I think you could do better for you. I actually think that you could make a lot more money. I think you could repackage your services in completely new and incredible ways that would service people and would allow you to make a hell of a lot more money and not trade time for money. So if you're listening and you're a VA, I highly encourage you to reach out.
Yeah, you allow yourself to be compared apples to apples. Like if you're charging $100 an hour and someone else is charging $10 an hour, obviously someone's going to look at that and be like, oh, it's 10x the price. But if you package it up, like Steph said there, with an outcome and you do XYZ and there's a specificity or there's a niche behind it, it's going to do a lot better. I'm not trying to say Australian VAs suck. Like, don't light me up here.
What about people who tell themselves, I think this is, you asked the question at the beginning, is like, why don't people do it? And I do think there's a story that runs that says like, I can't afford it yet.
Yeah.
Talk me through the.
Yeah. So like, even if you just listed out everything you do on a day-to-day basis and like, look at it, like, honestly, if you listed out in a column and you said, hey, what of this is actually making me money? Very little of it, of what you're doing, is actually making you money. And to be successful in entrepreneurship, you have to be focusing on the highest revenue generating things at any one time. And I know when you start, you know, like, let's say you're making $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 a month and you're not doing that well, like, it's a hard ask to go and pay a wage of someone, but you really need to think about it in terms of freeing up your time. Is like, especially if you've got kids or you've got family or you've got something like that, like, your time is limited. Like, let's say you've got 6 hours a day, and in the 5 hours of those 6 hours, you're doing bullshit, like replying to clients' emails about $1.72 payment fail or like something like that. Just really simple. And that's just what a lot of people do. And that's why they can't grow. It's because they don't have the hours to give to it. That because they don't, it's like a chicken or the egg situation. It's like, what comes first here?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm hard up for cash. I need a VA because I need the hours, because I need to do the high revenue generating activities. Like, what do I do? Do I always just stay in struggle street, or do I hire someone to do that, free up my time, and then I can do more stuff?
There is an inherent risk with business guys and entrepreneurship. Like, you are going to have to sometimes front up some money before you get the outcome that you want. And a lot of people have tried to hire VAs, and we're going to go through hiring very shortly, and not had a good experience, and then go, oh, it's not for me, you know. Yeah. And that sucks. It's like saying, hey, I've dated a guy one time and now I've decided I'm never going to ever get married and just going to be on my own for the rest of my life. It just doesn't make sense. So like, I really encourage you guys to think about the fact that like, your time is your most precious resource as an entrepreneur, your space, your energy, your focus. Like, only you can do what you can do. but other people can do so much of the other stuff that you do.
I just want to talk into agency versus hiring. Mm. We're going to go through hiring just in a sec. I was going to tell you how to do that. So agency, typically it's more of like a hands-off. They'll get you someone pretty decent. You won't really have to worry about it. If you're not happy with their performance, you can trade them in and then just get someone else. When you hire them yourself, you've obviously got to go through all that stuff and you like wear a lot of the risk as well. So typically with agency, you're going to pay double what you would by sourcing them for yourself. Not saying that's bad or good or whatever it is. It just depends on where you're at. Mm. If it's like a first hire and you're like, fuck, maybe I just want an agency and this is going to be easier, then do that. If you want to get more for your money and you want to hire yourself, we're going to walk you through the process now. So, Steph, where do people find good VAs? Like, where does that come from? What? Give me some sites. Like,
there are a couple of the good sites that I go to. You've got the everyday websites that most people go to. So you've got like Upwork, where you'll find VAs from around the world, not just from the Philippines. So you can get, we've literally hired video editors from like Colombia and all sorts of places on Upwork. Fiverr, it's typically more project-based. Yep. So again, anywhere in the world though, but you know, you might say, hey, I've got this video editing project for my YouTube and it's usually a one-off project, whereas Upwork is typically ongoing. And then there is
onlinejobs.ph,
which is typically where we tell our clients to find VAs. Tim, do you want to walk us through the hiring process that we use for onlinejobs.ph?
So we pretty much use this hiring process across the board with a lot of people, not just like hiring VAs. So what we'll do is write a job description. Usually that job description is, you want to make it sound good. Don't just be like, VA, you're going to be doing all this bullshit work that's like really low value and no one really cares about. Like, you've got to sell it. Sell the company, like sell yourself. And then in that, you want to have them fill in a form. That form should be at least 10 questions, maybe 10 to 15 questions. Most people are going to get tripped up there and they're not going to go through that step. In the form, you want them to upload a CV in there as well. So they're going to auto-upload. You're going to get this all in a spreadsheet. So I use Google Forms. It comes into a spreadsheet. Then from there, I will take the entire list. If you guys use online jobs, you'll probably get like 250, 300 applicants. I'll take the entire list. I'll put it in your AI or large language model and be like, get me a top 20 and then tell me why you chose them as a top 20. So it's going to read all their resumes. It's going to read everything like that. It's going to give you a top 20. Then from there, what you're going to do is you're going to send them an email. So a BCC email, and you're going to say, hey, can you complete this typing test for me? So that's the next step, is they're going to complete a 1-minute typing test. They're going to give you a score. Then you want to start thinking about like, all right, how fast people get back to you, how prompt they are, what their answers were on the question. And then eventually you're going to build a top 10 or a top 5. Mm-hmm. From that, from the typing test, from the CVs, from how fast people get back to you, how punctual they are, you want to ask them to do a test project. Okay, so a test project, you can pay them $10, $20, whatever that is. So reply to a bunch of emails, build me this thing, graphic design, whatever it is. And then you want to see how they deliver it, what the quality is, how fast they get it back to you. Then from there, you want to interview at least 5 of them, get down to your top 3, and then offer 1, 2, 3, offer them the role and see where they go. Typically with this is you want to give them like a 3-month probation. If they're not good, you want to get rid of them quickly. Go back to the hiring board that you had and then go to number 2, offer them a job 3, 4, and then go back to that process.
We are going to dive into a little bit later in this episode how to know when to fire and like what good looks like and that sort of thing. But before we do,
Steph, what should they be paying? Well, what's a good like reasonable amount here? Because everything's in USD.
Everything's in USD. Look, everyone's going to want as cheap as they can get. But remembering our conversation at the beginning, like cheaper doesn't always mean that you're going to get the best. We would look around $10 per hour, USD mm-hmm. per hour. Somewhere between 10 and 15 is typically what we'd pay any of our VAs. We typically start cheaper and then give them opportunity to work up once they pass probation. So for example, if someone is, you know, wanting a $10 hour role, I'd probably offer them $8 per hour until they pass probation and then give them something to work towards in that first part. And then obviously we do wage reviews every year. We do bonuses, end of year bonuses, things like that as well. And there's always opportunity for more hours, more work and those sorts of things. So there's plenty of opportunity for our VAs to grow.
Yeah. So I've got a bit of a humbling experience for you guys. This is a really great exercise for anyone to do. I teach this in Success School in Dream Team. It's actually just working out what the hell you do with your time. And how it works is you get an Excel spreadsheet and then you list out 15-minute increments from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then there's 3 spaces each 15 minutes. And you basically are trying to journal what you're doing for an entire week on an Excel spreadsheet. Then from there, once you know exactly what you're doing, you want to look at the list and you want to say, what can I actually delegate from this? What do I need to eliminate? What can I automate? So anything that's delegatable, you should be handing off to a VA to free up your time. I think a lot of the times when I've done this in the past, I realize like sometimes how fuck all I do on a week to week basis. Like you realize you're looking at it like, fuck, I do fuck all. Like no wonder things aren't going well for us at the moment. Like there is like a direct reflection in when you guys do this activity and how much you're actually doing of like meaningful revenue generating activities and the position your finances are right now in your bank account. Mm-hmm. There's like, you guys will look at that and be like, all right, it is plain as day for me.
Yeah. Okay, let's move into management. So managing your VA, what should daily or weekly reporting look like to make sure that you know that they're doing the jobs that they say that they're doing?
Yeah, great question. So what you want to do is a daily report. So end of the day, we have a Google form that we zap into our Slack and we tag everyone in it. And it basically, all of our team members submit a daily report. So it's like name, what the day was, what you accomplished today, what your tasks were, is there anything you need help with? And you just want to track them on a daily basis in terms of what they're actually completing for you. And it's just like a really good accountability tool from there. Outside of that, that's like the main tracking we do. I will just do sporadic work reviews. So I'll just check on stuff. So if they're sending emails, like what kind of emails, what are they saying? Like how they're using AI, are they using large language models? So just like some quality assurance.
Additionally, we also check KPIs. So every one of our VAs at some level has a KPI attached to their role. With admin, it can be hard to do KPIs, but just as an example, we have a failed payments KPI. So we want our failed payments of our clients to be under 3% at any one time. And so our admin Sai is responsible for that. And so if that's creeping up, then that's something that's going to come up in our weekly team meeting as well. So there are lots of examples of that. You could have, if they're doing payroll, if they're doing checking invoices, things like that, you can have them to be across, you know, KPIs and have benchmarks for them to be meeting as well.
Steph, talk to me about hours, like part-time, full-time, where they're at, like who should they hire, what should they hire, like what should they do?
Yeah, so I'll tell you a little story. When I first hired my first VA, her name was Sheila. She was really great. And I hired her for 10 hours a week initially. She was just helping me out with some MailChimp stuff back in the day. And I thought she was really great. And as I started to realize that I could offhand some of this admin to her, I was like, oh, I want to offhand. What else can I offhand? Like, this is amazing. I don't want to do any of this shit. And so then I started giving her more and more stuff. But she was working multiple jobs because she can't survive off my 10 hours a week, right? So I started increasing her hours to 20 hours a week. And then she was balancing me and another company that she was working for who were US-based, which meant that she was working for me during the day and then she was working for this US company during the night. And so obviously, over the period of 6 to 12 months, she started getting exhausted. And my business was growing. It became more and more demanding. Eventually, I said, how much for you to quit that company and come work with me full time. And I found out what that figure was and I had a discussion with you and we decided to pay her a full-time wage from that point on. I don't really think we've hired anybody not full-time since then.
Yeah.
And what I'll say is we typically hire people for contract work. We have a really awesome guy in our in right now. His name's Gian. We hired him a little while ago for some contract video editing stuff. He came on, helped us out with some bits and pieces. He was great. We didn't really have any need for him after that. So the contract ended and that was done. We recently realized that we needed a VA for some more video editing. So we reached back out to him and then we realized that he was actually really good. And in that time that we hadn't spoken to him about a year, he'd upskilled really dramatically and now had all these other additional skills and was really keen for work. We took a punt. We decided to hire him full time. And now he basically end-to-end sets up all of our ads. He runs a lot of the Done For You ads agency that we run as well. And he helps out with a lot of the kind of really complex reporting stuff in our company. We've hired him full time for that. Is he doing full-time hours?
Probably
not. Is our full-time admin Sai doing full-time hours? Probably not.
No.
We don't really track like that because we know that we're getting value from them. But in saying that, there are really good tracking tools that you can use. Like we trust our team explicitly until they give us a reason not to. And at that point, if they gave us a reason not to trust them, then we would implement tracking softwares like...
Hubstaff is a good one. So hubstaff.com, you can go there. Basically, they log into it and it gives you like an activity report of like how much they're actually doing in each hour. This was a game changer for me when we had a big digital marketing agency and 40 people on there. It's really hard to keep a track of everyone.
Yep.
I know some companies go to the extreme, and this is like a really extreme example, but they'll have someone and they'll have all of their VAs logged into Zoom at the same time throughout the day. So like 8 to 4, and they'll have like a manager in there, like watching people, giving them breaks and stuff like that. Like that's pretty intense, but like I can see why, and we've seen it, like they can take the piss.
Oh yeah. We've seen it time and time again. And I think this leads perfectly into the shit that nobody talks about. Like we can sit here and be like, you should hire a VA. It's amazing. It's going to be great. But you know, we currently have like 3 or 4 VAs that we trust and we have had a lot that we haven't.
Yeah.
And so I think it's probably worthwhile talking about that.
Yeah.
talk us through how many chances you give a VA to perform before you make a cut decision.
Yeah, I'm quite different at a lot of people. And I think like a lot of our clients are extremely lenient with their VAs. Like, you know, there's every excuse under the sun. Like that, their VA will be giving like, my dog died, my cat died, my brother died, my sister
laptop
died,
broke, my laptop broke. Phone's out, the reception, tsunami.
You know, tsunamis, 42 tsunamis. And, you know, like I know these things do happen in the Philippines, but like sometimes the excuses are like, they get a little crazy. I'm like a three strikes kind of guy. For me, if it's something detrimental with the company, they're lying, they're like deceitful or like something like that. Usually like anything lying, deceitful, that's like an instant fire for me. Mm-hmm. But usually I'll give people three strikes and then hire some new ones. But like what I'm saying here, guys, is you want to have a pipeline of people ready to go, and you want to have your shit dialed and documented, and you want to have systems and processes, and you want to have all this stuff ready to go. If you don't, that's where you get like in a hostage situation with your VA, is like, I can't lose my VA because I'm going to have to do all this shit again.
Yes.
Well, if you had SOPs and you had processes, you could just hire another one and they could just follow the process. Mm. It's super simple.
Yeah.
Then you're not in a hostage situation with these VAs and you can't think like you can never get rid of them.
I want to talk about this really quickly. If you have an underperforming, and this is team member full stop, if you have an underperforming team member in your business right now, you only have two paths ahead of you. You either performance manage them and get them like and try your hardest to get them up to speed.
Rarely works.
Which rarely works. But let's say you can try and performance manage them and get them up to speed. In that pathway, you are running the decision of, oh, it's just too hard to think about firing. It's going to be uncomfortable to fire them. I'm going to have to rehire them. I don't have time to train people right now. Da, 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 da. So I'm just going to put some more time and effort into fixing this person, right? Real talk, most of the time that doesn't actually work in a small business because you don't actually have the time to performance manage them. Most of the time, you don't even have the skills to performance manage them. And so this typically gets worse before it gets better, okay? Path two is you fire them and you hire someone straight away. And then within 2 months, that problem is fixed. With path one, where you performance manage them, in 2 months, the problem could be worse, or you could just be in the same position again where you have to fire them and rehire anyway. And so a lot of the time what we see is that with people who are underperforming, and if you feel like really, truly in your soul right now, there's someone in your business, you're like, they're just taking the fucking piss and you're frustrated and you're angry. I'm telling you right now, your intuition is not wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Your intuition is right. You should get rid of them. There's no good working relationship there for you both. Okay. And obviously assess yourself, like, if it's just a moment, it's a moment, but if it's an ongoing thing for a matter of weeks, it's time for that person to go. Okay. Ripping the bandaid off now is going to help you to get far faster along than by delaying the firing of this person because you don't want to be mean because it's too hard to rehire. Da, 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 da. You're just kicking the can down the road. And we see entrepreneurs do that all of the time. And you lose so much momentum doing that. So if you've got someone in your team like that right now that you're just feeling so frustrated with and you've been frustrated for an extended period of time, a matter of weeks, it's time to go.
Cut that shit.
Yeah.
Steph, let's say performance is declining for like a couple of months. What's actually happening here that people miss and how do they combat that if their like performance is going down?
Yeah, I think that the minute that you see performance decline, you have to call it. I think, and not call as in fire them, you need to have a conversation with them about why performance is declining and say, look, this is the expectation. This is what's currently happening. I'd love to have an understanding like of what's happening. Usually it's something personal that's going on for that person, but by understanding that you can kind of, you know, maybe make adjustments or whatever. But if it continues to decline, ultimately, it doesn't really matter what's happening in that person's personal life. It's impacting the company. And you can love that person. You can want to support them and you can want to like do all those things. But if it's costing the company the results or the growth, like it's not a personal decision, it is a business decision. And, you know, the benefit of having VAs is that you're not contractually obliged to stay with them, you know, like the Australian
situation.
With the Australian legislation or, you know, US legislation, like they are a contractor in your company, you can move them on. And that's why we do love them for small businesses because you guys are still figuring out what the hell you need. You guys are still figuring out how to manage and lead. And so it will take you some time to figure out these working relationships and not being stuck into the Australian legislation for this is super beneficial. Real talk, what percentage of our VAs have we had to fire? And what was the typical reason or the average reason each time?
Yeah, I was thinking about this just then when you were like, before you were going to ask me. And I kind of thought to myself, majority of it was because I was a poor manager and had bad systems and processes. Like, I don't think it was the VA's fault inherently. I think it's really easy just to like be like, yeah, VA's are shit, like type thing. And like, you know, 80% of them are shit. I would say probably like 50%. I would say would be like bad hires and just weren't good enough for where we were at, which is probably indicating to you listening to this right now that you're going to have to hire a few to get this right.
Yes.
And even if you go through an agency, like the odds are you'll get them wrong.
Yeah.
So it's going to take you a few, like you got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet type situation. But, you know, I would say 50-50. You need, and I will say here, guys, is you need, like we have two things in Success School. We have Dream Team, which is like a full hiring process end to end. So we show you how to hire, manage team meetings, all that type of stuff. And then we have something called Scale System, where we show you how to systemize your business. Both of those two things are extremely important. I know on Success School, we talk about marketing, sales, making money, shitloads. But that stuff is like the real glue that holds a business together, is systems, processes, and team. And you really need to lock in those things if you got any chance of scaling to seven figures, eight figures, nine figures, 10 figures.
Yeah, because your marketing, like you're going to become the bottleneck. Like you can be epic. We turn that marketing tap on all day. You're going to flood your pipeline full of leads. You're going to get a ton of sales and you're going to drown in delivery. And then you're going to, you know,
struggle and shut it down.
And so we see this all the time. Like everyone's like, yeah, I want leads and money, baby. And it's fun and it's awesome. And yet we turn that marketing. We can turn that marketing tap on for anybody inside Success School. But is your business actually set up to handle the effect? Like if I genuinely got you 100 new clients tomorrow or 100 new inquiries tomorrow, most people wouldn't be able to handle it because they don't have the team systems. If most people don't even have the contingency for getting sick, really sick, you know, like most people don't have the contingency for having a car crash or having a parent pass away or their kids being in hospital for an extended period of time. And so then their businesses just suffer and continue to suffer. And it's all because of this one tiny but very incredibly important part of business, which is systems. Mm-hmm. We talk about systems, we're talking about SOPs, we're talking about the walkthroughs of how you do your thing. We're talking about creating frameworks so that other people can implement the work for you. And when you do that, guys, your business is truly set up to run without you. And all of you listening to this episode right now, like no one got into business to work more hours and, you know, make more money. Like we got into business for more money and more freedom. And so this is the way. And it's uncomfortable and it's not things you want to hear. And we showed you the warts and all version of it today. But like these truly are things that you need to do in order to grow.
Steph, final question here. Let's say someone listening to this right now is like, they've got 30 tabs open, they've got a million deadlines, they've got a bunch of shit going on. What's the one thing they need to hear to actually pull the trigger on this and hire their first or next VA? Because multiple is key as well. Like guys, if you got,
it'll never feel like a good time and you'll never feel ready.
Yeah.
Full stop. Yeah. And so if you're waiting for 15 of those tabs to close, you might be waiting 2 weeks, especially if you're in my laptop. There is no better time than right now. Any time that you are sitting on a decision, if you truly, you know, threw a coin in the air and heads or tails, which one do you hope it would be? Is like you could have a VA in your business that's running things or, you know, you keep doing it on your own.
Yeah.
Your gut instinct is already telling you the decision that you need to make. You're just logically, or you're letting fear negotiate with your intuition. Your intuition is telling you, yes, I need this thing. And everything else is just a negotiation with fear. And so if you are thinking about it, if you are drowning right now, if you're like, yeah, but, and all these thoughts come into your mind, I can't afford it. What if, all I know for sure is you have two roads in front of you. You have the what if road, which is what if it doesn't work out, but what if it does? Or you have the road where you continue doing what you're already doing and you already know how that works out. You've already seen how that's worked out the last 6 months, the last 4 months, the last 7 months, the last 12 months. You know where that road leads and it leads to you being in the exact same position every single week for the rest of this year. And that's not where you want to be.
So I just want to shout out three virtual assistant agencies that are in Success School right now. So we have Elise Murchie and she has the Collaborative Co. They do general VAs. Then we have Amber Allen and they're called Soshi Friends. They do marketing VAs. And then we have OE Agency. So if you guys want some great VAs, you can go through them. Otherwise, you can just hire them yourself from there. If you guys found this helpful, please share it with a friend. Fun episode, I think. I love talking about VAs. That was cool.
It's so cool. If you found this helpful and you know you need a VA, hire one.
Yeah.
And if you want help on how to hire one because you don't want to go through an agency, that's also fine. We give you agencies. But if you want us to show you exactly our process, you can install it in your business. You can run it forever. We'd like to invite you to join Success School also. So
jump on our website, makemoreprofit.com, book a scale session. We'd love to chat with you. See you soon, guys.